Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Human Harvest filmmaker given Peabody Award in New York, young cyclists ride across the country to rescue orphans, a quiet oasis in a noisy city, a little practitioner involved in FA spreading activities, Portland, Oregon, Falun Dafa practitioners participate in Starlight Parade and win sweepstakes award, and in 16 China provinces, 70 lawsuits against Jiang Zemin filed in 3 days. Now for the stories.
Human Harvest filmmaker given Peabody Award in New York. Human Harvest, China's illegal organ trade. A documentary examining the illegal organ harvesting industry in China received the Peabody Award in Manhattan, New York on Sunday, May 31, 2015. Human Harvest is a new documentary that follows Nobel Peace Prize nominees David Mattis and David Kilgore as they investigate the atrocities of illegal organ harvesting in China, particularly of Falun Gong prisoners of conscience. They estimated that about 40,000 to 60,000 people have been killed for their organs in China. The investigation started in 2006, after the ex-wife of a Chinese surgeon revealed that her husband had forcibly removed thousands of corneas from jailed Falun Gong practitioners. Her account is also highlighted in the film, along with organ transplant recipients who went to China for their surgery. With powerful testimonials about the intricacies of the trade and the human cost, including interviews with Chinese doctors who confide they've been coerced into removing organs from live political prisoners, this is a harrowing exposé of a fiendish system of forced organ donor transplants, commented Noel Holston from the staff of the 74th Annual Peabody Award winners about the documentary. The film was written, directed, and produced by filmmaker Leon Lee, principal of Flying Cloud Productions in Vancouver, Canada. He said, "The scale and cruelty of this crime against humanity is hard to grasp, and perhaps the biggest challenge for the filmmakers was to try to tell a story that is too horrific to believe, yet the facts are convincing." This award really belongs to David Mattis, David Kilgore, Ethan Gutman, and the many others who worked tirelessly to bring an end to this crime against humanity. It belongs to the innocent Falun Gong practitioners and other prisoners of conscience in China. "I am honored to help tell their story," said Leon in his brief acceptance speech. "Facing such a crime against humanity, as a human being, you have a decision to make," said Leon. Standing with him on stage was Crystal Chen, a woman who was arrested 5 times in China for practicing Falun Gong. She was arrested for simply following the universal principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. "She was forced to undergo multiple blood tests in the labor camp," said Leon, speaking about Crystal. "If any one of those tests came up as a match for an organ transplant, she wouldn't be here with us tonight. Every day there are people who aren't as lucky as her, and we can't stop our work until forced organ harvesting in China is ended." Everyone in tonight's reception has a common feeling, that is, individuals, organizations, and countries, knowing the facts, must take immediate action to have more people know this and to stop the crime. "It was the topic talked most tonight," said Leon during the interview. The film was aired on national television SBS in Australia on April 7, 2015. Several mainstream newspapers, including Sydney Morning Herald, carried reports about the film broadcast. This led numerous concerned citizens to speak out against organ harvesting atrocities and were shocked to discover that the whole process appears to be state-sanctioned. The film will be broadcast in national television CBC in Canada on June 16th.
Young cyclists ride across the country to rescue orphans. Young cyclists from several different countries are participating in the Ride to Freedom, a human rights initiative whose mission is to rescue Chinese orphans whose parents were tortured to death for their belief in Falun Gong. The participating youths are from China, the United States, Germany, France, Israel, Australia, India, South America, Russia, Iran, United Arab Emirates, Hungary, and Singapore. After a rally at Santa Monica Pier near Los Angeles on May 31st that called for an end to the persecution of Falun Gong, they set out on their cross-country ride June 1st. The leader of the team is Annie Chen, 18 years old, from Michigan. She said, "We will bike from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., about 3,000 miles. We are not professional cyclists, but we believe in freedom of belief and want to help to stop the persecution of Falun Gong in China." The cyclists, all in their teens or 20s, have practiced Falun Gong for years. Some of their family members or relatives have suffered in the persecution. 11-year-old Isla was born in Beijing. Her grandparents are Falun Gong practitioners and were jailed several times. Her grandmother was tortured until she was blind and deaf. She recovered after leaving China and continuing to practice Falun Gong. Isla said, "On the journey, we will face challenges and difficulties, but they will be far less compared with the suffering of Falun Gong practitioners who have been persecuted." Millions of Chinese children have been in difficulty since the Chinese Communist Party initiated the persecution on July 20, 1999. Some of them lost their parents. Some are in prison with their parents. Some have been expelled from their schools. Congressman Alan Lowenthal from California issued a statement in support of Ride to Freedom. "I want to express my support for the young riders of Ride to Freedom and their entire support team. Your concern for those who are fighting for human rights and religious freedom in China is commendable, and your concern has turned into action. I wish you success on your mission to fight for the truth, justice, and basic human rights for the young people in China who have become orphans due to the persecution against Falun Gong practitioners in the country. Last year, I supported the House Resolution 281 as a co-sponsor, which expressed the concerns from the U.S. Congress over the persistent and credible reports of systematic state-sanctioned organ harvesting from non-consenting prisoners of conscience in the People's Republic of China, including from large numbers of Falun Gong practitioners imprisoned for their religious beliefs and members of other religious and ethnic minority groups." Joan Collins is the co-chair of the United Nations Associations of Pacific Los Angeles chapter. The United Nations Associations is a non-governmental organization with more than 120 chapters around the world. When she spoke at the rally, she commented that no one can control another person's thoughts. Keith Ware, one of the organizers of Ride to Freedom, has practiced Falun Gong for 16 years. His 12-year-old son is one of the cyclists. He said the Ride to Freedom was a continuation of a biking event held in 2004. The cyclists will take turns riding in teams of about 7 or 8. Three large vans will accompany them. Each team plans to ride for 2 hours a day and avoid main highways. Their next stop after Los Angeles is Las Vegas. They plan to ride through 19 cities in over 40 days. They plan to meet with President Barack Obama and ask him to help rescue the orphans in China. They also plan to meet with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and address the UN Assembly. A select number of riders and senior team leaders will travel to China to rescue 5 orphan children.
A quiet oasis in a noisy city. The Tianti Bookstore in Manhattan is a very quiet oasis in a large and noisy city. Every other month, the bookstore hosts a free 9-day Falun Dafa class. Most of the students in the latest class had heard about it through word of mouth. The class started shortly after the annual Falun Dafa Cultivation Experience Sharing Conference held in the city on May 14, 2015. Some of the over 8,300 Falun Dafa practitioners from around the world who attended the conference visited Tianti, which means a ladder to heaven in Chinese. It is a specialty bookstore that sells only Falun Dafa books. With a cup of coffee in hand, looking at shelves of yellow and blue Falun Dafa books, many visitors commented that the atmosphere in the store was unique, like a quiet island in a busy, noisy city. A volunteer who teaches the exercises at the store said the 9-day class is the most effective and systematic way to learn Falun Dafa. The students watch a video of Master Li Hongzhi for about an hour and a half, followed by learning the exercises for 30 minutes. Students often benefit more from the 9-day class than reading the book Juan Falun individually or in a group, even though the content is the same. The bookstore staff didn't have time to promote the class because of the conference, but the word got out through word of mouth. Mr. Muscle relaxes. Mr. Muscle lives nearby, so he often walks by the bookstore. He was curious about the 9-day class advertised out front for a long time. He recently developed an interest in meditation, so he decided to come into the store and learn the practice. After 9 days, this man, who was often under stress, felt relaxed in both body and mind. Actor discovers the truth about Falun Dafa. A non-Asian-looking man came into the store and spoke fluent Chinese. He said he had seen many Falun Dafa practitioners at tourist sites when he visited Australia. He then found an acting job with a Chinese TV station and lived in China for 6 years. Chinese state-controlled TV often criticizes and slanders Falun Gong, but no one had dared or cared to explain the truth about Falun Gong to him. 4 days before the class started, he was in New York and saw a group of people doing gentle exercises not far from the bookstore. He joined them without asking what it was. When they finished, he learned it was Falun Gong. Falun Gong again, he marveled. His curiosity was aroused, so when someone recommended that he go to the bookstore, he signed up for the 9-day class. Deborah, and Kim. Deborah, number one, is a college student who started practicing Falun Dafa in 2013 after her parents took up the practice. She enjoyed attending a 9-day class during her summer break from school and shared a few personal stories about how she benefited from practicing Falun Dafa. She encouraged other new students to be diligent. Deborah, number two, had also practiced Falun Dafa for a while. However, she said she still learned a lot from the 9-day class. For example, she used to treat doing the exercises like housework, just moving her arms and legs without thinking anything deeper. The class changed her. She is now practicing Falun Dafa diligently. Kim is a student at Columbia University. She heard about the 9-day class from the Falun Gong Club at school. She said she would join the group exercise practice at the university from now on and participate in weekend events at the Tianti bookstore. The 9-day Falun Dafa class is taught in English and is free to the public.
A little practitioner involved in Fa spreading activities. Greetings, esteemed master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I am a little Falun Dafa practitioner who immigrated from China to Canada. I started practicing Falun Dafa in July 2012. After I arrived in Canada, I was very interested in reading Falun Dafa information, so my father gave me articles written by practitioners that spoke of Master and Juan Falun. I wanted to read Master's books, but my father insisted that I read the articles first. My father allowed me to go to a Boy Scout camp. When we were ready to get on the bus for our trip home, I found something on the ground that turned out to be Canadian currency. Without a second thought, I gave the money to the person in charge of the scout camp and asked him to give it to whoever lost it. When my father heard about my good deed and wanted to reward me, I asked him to let me read Juan Falun. In this way, I started to practice Falun Dafa. One thought determines the outcome. When I was in 7th grade, one of my classmates accidentally hit my eye with a pencil. I was scared at first, but then I thought about what Master said. Quote, "We have said that good or evil comes from a person's spontaneous thought, and that the thought at that moment can bring about different consequences," unquote. Juan Falun. There was not much pain, and when I looked at my eye in the restroom, it was fine. This incident showed me how Master had protected me. I nonetheless felt scared later on and wondered what would have happened had I not remembered Master's Fa. Promoting Shen Yun. My father and I went to Seattle, Washington to distribute Shen Yun flyers during my winter break in December 2012. This was the first time I was involved in Shen Yun promotional activities. Before we distributed the flyers, we did the Dafa exercises for 45 minutes. On the way to our assigned spot, we recited Lun Yu. I was given flyers and then distributed them by myself. Little Disciples Truth Clarifying Platform. When Father and I studied the Fa, I read too fast and made quite a few errors. He told me that Fa study is serious. I understood and made an effort to read slower, and soon I was reading almost error-free. There were only a few practitioners in our area, and I was the only youngster. To establish a good cultivation environment, my father helped me join the Little Practitioners Dafa Truth Clarifying Platform in April 2013. Making phone calls to China and clarifying the facts about Falun Dafa to Chinese people required training. Practitioners shared their transcripts, which I practiced before starting to make phone calls. I was a little nervous at first, but I gradually felt more comfortable. Doing the exercises. I found some young practitioners online to do the exercises with. We did the standing exercise for 45 minutes the first time, and the sitting meditation for 30 minutes the next day. One of the group said that 30 minutes was too short, so we extended the sitting meditation exercise time to 45 minutes. Establishing exercise sites, partaking in various activities. We held the Art of Jen Shanren exhibition in July 2014. Because I was on my summer break, I was involved with setting up the exhibition. I sent forth righteous thoughts while another practitioner made arrangements. I then distributed flyers so people could learn about the exhibition. Many people attended the exhibition, and I gave each one a paper lotus flower made by fellow practitioners. Practitioners from other cities came to help, and some stayed in our home. We took turns doing the exercises in front of the exhibition place and studied the Fa after we returned home. We established a very good environment. After the exhibition was over, we got a permit and established the first exercise site in our town outside the place where we held the exhibition. We went there every Saturday. Over 20 people came to study the exercises that day. I felt that Master was encouraging us. My father encouraged me to go with others on out-of-town FA-spreading activities, so I went to Edmonton to partake in the Canadian National Day Parade and planned to go to Calgary for another parade. In between, I went to Edmonton and distributed flyers outside the government building and attended the group exercises and distributed flyers on National Day in Edmonton. In Calgary, I took part as a member of the Divine Land Marching Band in the two-hour parade. It was great, especially since we received a lot of applause. The band agreed to walk in another two-hour parade. I originally did not want to go because of leg pain, but I thought about what Master said, quote, "When it's difficult to endure, you can endure it. When it's impossible to do, you can do it," unquote, from John Fallon. After this event, I realized that it is every practitioner's responsibility to tell people about DAFA, send forth righteous thoughts, do the exercises, and study the Fa. Thank you, Master. Thank you, fellow practitioners.
Portland, Oregon. Falun Dafa practitioners participate in Starlight Parade and win sweepstakes award. Falun Dafa practitioners participated in the annual Portland Rose Festival Starlight Parade on May 30, 2015. Their well-decorated float resembling a boat won the sweepstakes award for best illumination. It was estimated 320,000 people watched the parade in person. The Starlight Parade continues a long-time festival tradition from the early 1900s, when illuminated floats built on electric trolley cars made their way through the city on trolley tracks, per the Starlight Parade website. Near 100 illuminated floats participated in the evening parade. Among the numerous floats, the Falun Dafa float was very eye-catching. The words Falun Dafa and truthfulness, compassion, forbearance appear on both sides of the boat. A practitioner dressed like a fairy was sitting in a lotus flower above the boat. Other practitioners demonstrated the Falun Dafa exercises on the boat. Spectators were excited to see the boat-shaped float and read out loudly, "Falun Dafa." Some walked closer to see it and shook hands with the practitioners who were walking alongside the float. The moderator introduced Falun Dafa several times during the parade. Falun Dafa is a practice following the universal principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. It has benefited over 100 million people worldwide. After the parade, many spectators waved hands excitedly upon seeing the float during its departure.
In 16 China provinces, 70 lawsuits against Jiang Zemin filed in 3 days. Former Chinese Communist Party head Jiang Zemin officially banned Falun Gong in July 1999, causing untold suffering for tens of millions of practitioners and their families over the past 16 years. The situation is now changing. Between May 28 and 30, 2015, practitioners in China filed at least 70 lawsuits against Jiang with the Chinese authorities. According to information provided to Minghui, these practitioners are from all walks of life in 16 provinces or province-level municipalities. Most of the suits involve severe and lengthy torture. Ms. Li Chiu-ying, 62, is a former hospital employee in Tonghua City, Heilongjiang Province. She was sent to a forced labor camp twice, held in detention centers six times, and her home was ransacked twice. She was brainwashed multiple times by workplace officials, 610 office staff, and co-workers. She was beaten, kicked, force-fed, injected with drugs against her will, handcuffed, and shackled. The torture left her with injuries to her head and legs and missing teeth. Mr. Chen Ming'an, 56, who lives in Qi'an City, Shaanxi Province, was detained in a forced labor camp four times between 1999 and 2008, for a total of 6.5 years. He was sent to brainwashing centers four times between 2001 and 2008 for a total of 6 months. He was held in detention centers four times for 6 months between 1999 and 2010. He was fired from his job in February 2000. His wife, Ms. Huo Meilian, was sent to a forced labor camp in June 2007, where the forced labor and torture damaged her health. She died in January 2014. They were all mistreated for one reason: their belief in truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Although their experiences differ, all these practitioners were mistreated because of Jiang's persecution policy. Ms. Dong Jinya, a Class 1 registered architect, was arrested in March 2015 for taking care of Ms. Guo Rongrong, a practitioner whose face was disfigured in 2004 and later died of torture in 2005. She was sent to a forced labor camp for 3 years. In the notorious Masanjia forced labor camp, Ms. Dong was handcuffed to heating pipes, force-fed, and injected with unknown drugs, among other forms of torture. In the end, she was in a life-threatening condition and was conditionally released. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.